Previously on the Sound of Football podcast. Although Spain are also a very good side and possibly better, will they have the energy levels to continue and win a third successive major trophy?
Germany, that's 16 years ahead, isn't it?
Yeah, and it must hurt a lot. It must hurt. Well, it does. Having experienced considerably more than 16 years. It's not actually hurt, though, is it?
Not really.
It's more of a sort of like mild irritation.
Yeah, that's what I see, really. 16 years of slight irritation.
Yeah. Yes, it's another edition of The Sound of Football with Graham Sibley, Terry DeFellin, and your host, Chris Oakley.
A very warm welcome to all. Glad you could join us for this 91st outing of The Sound of Football podcast. We are here today to discuss the only real topic that's got tongues wagging on the internet during the course of the day. It's, of course, the matter discussed by Richard Bevan, Chief Executive of the League Managers Association. He has today, as you've probably seen, been saying that due to the ever-increasing number of foreign Premier League club owners, if that number increases any further, then they may decide to vote en bloc to reject relegation from the Premier League, and indeed promotion to it, thereby putting a plank across the door and keeping everyone in the Premier League exactly safe and sound and intact and never to be changed again, presumably. This is something that's, of course, very controversial, and lots of people have been discussing, I know, on Twitter and the like during the course of the day. We are going to chuck in our two Penrith. Terry and Graham are here as ever to do so. I'm going to come to you first of all, Graham. Richard Bevan, what do you make of him? Is he basically scaremongering everyone? Is he panicking? Is he just striving for a bit of attention? I don't know kind of what he's up to. What do you reckon?
I think it's all of those, Chris, actually. I think I don't think this is an off-the-cuff remark. I think this is obviously a genuine fear for him, though. From as far as his position as the head of the League Managers Association, I don't know why he's making it. I don't hold a lot of store in it. I don't think it's a viable solution at all. I think what you've seen here is an idea that's been mooted, perhaps by someone who doesn't really understand football in this country, which, you know, a lot of club owners have shown in the past that they're guilty of. But I can't see it working at all. I can't see it ever flying with club owners in this country.
Yeah, I mean, Terry, there is an air of this about, yeah, it's almost like he's kind of just testing the water. We've seen something similar to this with Game 39 a while back. It was almost like nobody dared kind of announce this officially, and then they just kind of sent a little message out just to see what people's reaction was going to be. And when they kind of got the full force of the reaction, they sort of put it on the back burner and hoped that everyone would forget about it. Is that your interpretation of maybe what Richard Bevan is doing here?
I think my interpretation is that Richard Bevan is probably against the idea and has perhaps in discussions, whether formally or informally, with people involved in Premier League clubs, has heard that there is a strong sentiment within certain clubs that they would like to do away with relegation. Maybe that's what he's about, worried about this. There is an awful lot of stuff going on at the moment. There's the whole thing with Ian Ayre about, you know, the way the changing of the TV contracts. There's the Football Review as well that the government just launched as well with their recommendations about governance. And there's probably a lot of stuff now that's being said. There's probably a lot of debate going on within the Premier League and within the club owners about going forward and what to do and what to do next and where to take the league. And some of those ideas may be deeply unpalatable and disturbing to some. And maybe Richard Bevan feels that giving air to some of those ideas, this particular idea, would be beneficial for whatever reason.
So what you think chuck out the really, really awful ideas and they can just bring in a bad idea then?
Well, I mean, yeah, it may well be that some terrible ideas may yet slip under the carpet, but we're too busy worrying about really unfeasible. So the promotion and relegation, you know, does exist in other, non-relegation rather, the franchise system does exist in other sports, it exists in rugby league, it exists in America, of course, as we know.
And of course, county cricket, they had no promotion or relegation for decades.
Absolutely, and indeed there's no promotion or relegation into the county cricket structure. No. So with the mountain, minor counties, the last team to join the major counties was Durham, and that would have been in the early 90s, so it's effectively an expansion. So we're well comfortable with it in our own sporting culture. There's no reason why we can't actually do it. But traditionally, it's something you do either when you're starting a new league, like in Australia when they started the A-League, or you know, or in MLS, where you're looking to gather investment. And in order to protect that investment, you give them a copper bottom so that they can't get kicked out of the league. Yeah. So they've got the stability and the confidence to invest. The Premier League doesn't really need that. I mean, if the Premier League wants security of investment, then it needs to look to its governance laws. It doesn't need to look to, you know, going whether or not, you know, protection from getting relegated. It needs to look at the way it spends money and how much money it spends, if anything.
And
there's no reason for it. It's a popular, successful league, and the system works. Why change it? There's no financial need to do it, beyond, you know, what I was just saying earlier.
It's I mean, we'll perhaps come on to the whole thing about the FA being invited to sort itself out before next February. The government has basically sort of said, you know, take a good long hard look at yourselves and see if you can change the way you operate. That's all to sort of come. But let's talk about this kind of plan. I mean, Hugh Robertson, sports minister, said that you know, there should be sort of safeguards put in place so that, you know, financial mismanagement is kept to a minimum, stuff like that. I guess this is putting the fear of God into a lot of people that work in the game, work at clubs, who maybe are seeing their chance to make lots and lots of money being restricted. Is that sort of something you would agree with, Graham?
I think the government sticking its beak into football because it's a popular thing to do. I seriously think that there's lots of people that would rustle their copy of the Daily Mail and say, "Oh, look at Premier League footballers and look how much money they earn. It's they earn more money than the Prime Minister."
It's a disgrace.
It's an absolute disgrace. And the truth is that football players earn what they're paid.
They earn their market rate.
They do, and clubs have decided that, not footballers.
Mm. As Joey Barton said earlier on today, in fact,
did he?
He said precisely that.
Well, there you go. And I'm at a loss now. Just get me coated.
We're in tune.
Joey Barton's just walked in, ladies and gentlemen.
Football will overspend no matter how much money it's got or how little money it's got. It just seems obscene. And it is obscene, the amount of money going around there. But then again, everyone wants to pay money to go and see it, no matter what sort of financial crisis we're actually in the middle of.
I don't quite share your cynicism of the Football Review, although I can understand where it's coming from. I do think that if some of this stuff actually does get turned into something concrete, then we will be looking at better governance laws and better financial controls over clubs. I suspect, however, the reality is that there will be more established mechanisms for supporters to be able to buy a stake or acquire a stake within their own club, or even indeed take over their own club. I think the supporter ownership model will be the winner in this. That won't apply to the genuinely big clubs. Because I apart from anything else, we don't do it in this, generally speaking. I don't think culturally we do it in this country anyway. And certainly this is not a government that believes philosophically in intervening in private business into this manner. So they won't impose ownership or governance structures on football clubs. What they will do is that they will look to impose a structure on the FA, because that's something they've got more leverage with. And in fact, if anything, that could be, in many respects, that could give more power to the Premier League, because the Premier League have been banging on about more representation on the FA FA level for years now, and it may well be that that Hugh Robertson will, after being, you know, I'm sure, very, very eloquently lobbied.
Well, exactly. I mean, who would you think? Who would you imagine has probably got the best lobbying powers in football at the moment?
Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea.
Exactly. Who are the people who are going to have direct access to like the highest levels of government?
All of those. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, who's not going to have the highest access to government?
Wrexham.
Yeah.
Exeter City.
Yeah.
You know, clubs like that. I mean, the big clubs can afford the lobby firms, and anyone who's been reading the front pages of the newspapers over the last week or so will know the power of the lobby firms have in the democratic process in the UK. So this is the starting point. This Football Review is the blueprint. What happens next is the horse trading. and you know, the best traders will win, and you know, that depends on whether you can afford them. So yeah, I mean, I imagine that I'm sure some good will come out of that, but to whether or not it, you know, everything it says, I'm somewhat suspicious.
But obviously noises that are being made by people like Bevan are obviously there to stir it all up and to make sure that, you know, that perhaps lower league clubs do have a bigger say in the way this is shaken down.
The review, Ian Ayre's remarks about television deals, this is clearly a moment in football, in the Premier League, in English football's history, where there's a big debate going on with powerful people, and they're all starting to talk about the future, acknowledging that there's going to be changes. I mean, there's going to be changes in TV deals. I mean, there's the Karen Murphy thing, which we don't know the full extent of, because it's, the Court of Appeal hasn't actually made UK law, so we don't know what will happen there. But we can imagine that there will be changes there in terms of the way television rights are dispensed and sold. Lots of changes mooted, and so consequently...
Is it called Murphy's Law yet?
I don't know. It is now.
Yes, okay.
It is now, Murphy's Law and all that. So big changes in the offing, and so perhaps, and perhaps understandably, and perhaps not unreasonably, this is a time for discussion and perhaps a bit of crazy blue sky thinking. There isn't necessarily anything wrong with that, as long as you know, nobody actually does anything about it.
Well, yes, but that's the trouble with crazy ideas. Someone picks them up and starts running with
them. If they came on this podcast and they could give vent to their crazy ideas, no one would listen, even fewer would pay attention, and then that'll be that, and then they could get out of the way.
Maybe we should come up with some crazy ideas. Oh, how about, is it time to actually discuss what Ian Ayre said?
I think it might be. Let's ask our compere, see what he thinks.
Well, okay then, Ian Ayre then.
He's beyond compare.
I think he's certainly beyond compare.
Yes.
It's nice of you to say so. Compare. Go compare. Oh, no, maybe not. Yes, Ian Ayre, Liverpool managing director, he's basically come out and sort of said, obviously, that teams like Liverpool, we're presuming he's talking about his own club, deserve the right to negotiate their own TV deals out in when they're sort of abroad, shall we say, because, you know, they can draw a big crowd, as apparently he acknowledges when they went on tour to Malaysia during the close season, 80,000-odd people turned up. And why not exploit? Why not tap into their financial... involvement. All very well and good, but I can't help thinking that, I mean, okay, he may be saying all this on behalf of the bigger clubs in the Premier League, like Chelsea, Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal, whatever. But it does seem a bit unfair that he's trying to earn more money than the likes of, say, Blackpool, Wolves, Blackburn, West Brom and West Ham, who actually beat Liverpool last season. And you kind of think, where's the pecking order here? But I acknowledge the fact that they are a big brand around the world, Liverpool, as opposed to, sorry to say, Blackpool or whoever. But it's just another manifestation of the greed that's in the game these days. And something which has been written about very eloquently by two friends of ours, Chris Nee from Two Footed Tackle and indeed Ian King at 200%, who've done tremendous jobs getting excellent articles out on their blog sites in such a short space of time, I just should have to say. But what's your view on the whole Ian Ayre utterance then, Terry?
Well, I think the thing is, in a way, he's right.
Oh, yes. Well, there's an angle to it which you could suggest he's right.
In a kind of normal, semi-regulated sort of like marketplace, they're perfectly entitled to exploit, and the word is exploit, their brand.
Yes.
In such a way as to make them more money, because, you know, they are a bigger brand and they've got, to an extent, they've got more money and more potential for earning than Blackburn.
And they're also operating in an environment where their competitors have that advantage as well. In the wider scheme, where
in their Champions League competitors, and that's where he's coming from, isn't he? He's looking at this from a Champions League perspective, which is very convenient for him to say, given that
they're not actually even in the Europa League.
They're not even in the Europa League. So it's a bit presumptuous to assume that. Nevertheless, if we work on this assumption, we put ourselves in his shoes. He's thinking about
very
Champions
expensive
League.
Shoes.
Hmm. Now, the thing about the thing is, it's not about the Champions League, is it? The bread and butter of English football is the Premier League, and the Premier League is in this respect a singular entity, and its collective bargaining system for international television rights helps to empower the smaller clubs and give them a chance to compete, so that you get, a fairly well balanced range of results throughout the course of the season.
Yeah. And you get instances where Stoke qualify for the Europa League, yep, and Liverpool don't.
And you also get instances where Stoke take the Europa League 10 times more seriously than Liverpool would have done.
Because for them,
it's a wonderful thing that they're in, and Fulham as well the same. Yep. But you also get the bigger clubs with more money and bigger supporter bases over the course of time, generally speaking, coming out on top.
Oh, yeah,
because
definitely.
They are the bigger club with the bigger resources, and that's kind of how it should be. Mm. Subject to good players and good coaches and bad players and bad coaches. And transitions and, foreign players and all that malarkey and, not spending your money and all of that. The bigger clubs tend to come out. So the way the Premier League in that respect works, it works pretty effectively. So yep, it's interesting how Ian Ayre has moved that away from the Premier League. He said, let's talk about the Champions League. This is where it's unfair, because I don't think he's got much of an argument with the Premier League. No. So it's all a bit weird. He's saying the Premier League should do this because of the Champions League. You say, well, actually, what about the Premier League? The Premier League works fine.
Yeah. I mean, that is pretty much the other laughable sort of thing. I mean, he was noted as saying the other European clubs don't follow the English model, they'll create much greater revenue to go and buy the best players, and essentially, English teams will lose out because Barcelona's and whoever on the continent will have more money to buy better players. And yet, if you look at the last 14 finalists in the Champions League, 7 of them have been English. So I'm suggesting there that maybe English football isn't quite on its uppers yet. So I'm not sure that he's really sort of it got much of a footing in the way that football is these days, if you know what I mean. He just seems to be kind of going off at a bit of a weird tangent. Coming back to the original sort of utterances of Richard Bevan, there is a point to be made here in the sense that he specified that this whole era of non-relegation and so on will come about because of the increase in foreign owners. Now, this is something that both Chris Nee and Ian King have both said, that actually that's not the issue, because, as we know, there's even been English club owners who have had similar greedy attitudes and wanting to sort of change the game. So that's a complete misnomer, isn't it?
Yeah, I reckon so. I reckon if you were to look at the mega-rich owners of football clubs in the Premier League, they wouldn't give two hoops whether or not there's promotion, relegation or not. Sheikh Mansour, it's not going to be any water off his back. What happens Indeed. To teams like Wolves or Wigan or anyone like that? However, Dave Whelan, wouldn't surprise me if he was saying, no, bolt the door. I've been here 7 years, and we count ourselves lucky every year, and we want to stay here.
If they were to stop relegation, then it would probably revert to a system similar to rugby league, and it would be a franchise, and each club would apply to be in the Premier League, and you probably get a licence for 3 years like you do in the Super League. Wigan would have a very good chance of getting that franchise, as you say, because they have been in the Premier League for 7 years. So from Dave Whelan's point of view, it's not a bad idea. Of course, the thing is that there's probably at least half the other clubs in the Premier League who are always weary of what's going on below them and will be worried about relegation, and not necessarily in a place where they would feel confident in that.
Yeah, to get any decision made like that, it requires 70%. 14 clubs have to vote in favour of something. So if you're looking at all the clubs that are competing genuinely for the Champions League, then, it's not going to be any benefit to them. In fact, it's going to be to their disadvantage to block promotion and relegation, because it will allow the smaller clubs to have massive amounts of investment put in them without any risk eventually?
Well, only to an extent, yeah, because I mean, I think what would happen is he had to get a license, and then that license would be up for renewal over a period of time. So as long as they don't mess things up terribly, then they should get their license renewed.
But basically, they would, a foreign investor could come into to a club and say, right, okay, we're going to put £100 million into this club because we know that there's no chance of you being relegated.
Well, absolutely. Yeah,
so, no, as far as bigger clubs are concerned, that is a worry because that means there's more.
It increases in duty, yeah. upsets
and so
the status
they
w- quo.
And so they wouldn't vote for it. But likewise, teams at the bottom end wouldn't vote for it because it would probably be one or two seasons' time. Mm-hmm. And there's no guarantee they're going to be in the top flight.
No, that's right.
Why vote for a sanction that's going to basically close the door to
Although,
you.
In fairness, you probably would be invited to make applications to enter the Premier League. It may not be, this is how it is now, and if you're in, you're in, and if you're not, you're not.
Yeah.
It won't be like when they used to have no relegation from the Football League. Although in fairness, it will be a little bit like that.
I suppose what you would have got is when Portsmouth went tits up the other year, they would have been kicked out at the end of the season and someone else would
replace with somebody else.
Although I bet you that in this hypothetical situation, that probably wouldn't have happened. They would have been given another chance because it will probably almost certainly turn into a boys' club.
Yes, oh, certainly. But what I thought when I was thinking about this is in this hypothetical world, would the Championship have a bigger stake to go up to UEFA and say, well, actually, sod them, we're the ones who represent football in this country.
Hmm.
Give us the European places.
It depends entirely upon how the Championship perceive the whole
yeah.
thing. If they see it as a colossal revenue loss, then they may well wage war.
Yeah.
And say, look, we are going to compete against the Premier League. So I guess, to an extent, it depends on how the FA perceive it as well.
Yeah.
If the FA think it's a terrible idea, they may say, well, actually, do you know what? We're going to give the Championship and the Premier League equal status as
just,
top
these players. Are all ideas, I think, is why this it's never going to fly.
Yeah,
and that won't
happen because just don't do it like that here. No. You know, they're just not how things are done. It's just not cricket. Yeah.
So
you know?
this is what lends to the idea of the fact that it's just people sounding off to say, look, things are bad, look at awful things that could be happening in the years ahead.
It's sort of like giving everybody an idea of an apocalypse in the hope that basically they can keep things as they
are. And Chris hit upon the right word in the first sentence when he said scaremongering, which is all a bit dangerous because what you end up doing is everyone starts talking about issues that aren't really important. They're just sort of... Mm. We've just spent 22 minutes talking about it,
and in fairness, in truth, it's all a load of bollocks.
Yeah. but what we should be doing is having a look to see, well, what is the most important thing? And as you say about the review, hopefully things will come out of that, and hopefully it won't be just completely skewed by the real issues
is governance and supporter involvement. Those are the big issues, particularly governance. Is how clubs spend their money and how much and how little they spend according to how much that they actually bring in. Those are the big issues, and those are the ones that need to be addressed. Most important, I think, than anything else. More important than franchises, more important than relegation, promotion, anything like that. You know, all of these stuff we can cope with. I mean, we know all the stuff we other sports manage, and I'm sure that football can manage too, no matter how undesirable they may seem. But yeah. We're taking the eye off. We're being distracted, and we're being focusing on fantasies, frankly. And when we really ought to be talking about more important things. And I am aware of the colossal hypocrisy of that statement.
That's great.
But you know what? Yeah, it's very rare that we actually sit down on a Monday night and have a subject handed to us on a plate that we can talk about.
It's very, very handy, I must admit.
We'd like to thank Richard Bevan for giving us our podcast.
If we could do it every Monday,
if you could just say something really, really controversial, like, oh my God, they're all Martians. Club chairman's are... Hang on.
Yeah.
It could be V. Could
it?
Sorry,
audience. I think it's probably time I stepped in to bring
w.
things.
John W. Henry just walked in.
Enough.
I agree.
Stop. Anyway, There we are. We're bringing the show to
a close. I can do the intro to next week anyway.
That's right. Well done. Thank you for that. I'll get to work on that once we're finished. The show is slightly shorter this week because, cards on the table. We've had a few technical difficulties. So we thought, let's just kind of give this one last shot and see if we can get out quick before the whole thing collapses like a pack of cards. So there we go. So if you're listening on Net Radio UK, you're about to hear 5 minutes of silence. Anyway. There we are. Thank you very much indeed for listening. Hope you enjoyed that. And as we always say, please, please listen to what we say. We'd love you to give us some feedback and tell us what your views are on the thing that we discussed there just over the last 25 minutes or so.
Not really. No, I don't think we do.
No, feedback.
I think this is the final word on the matter.
Yeah.
Let's not be needy. If you guys don't want to leave any feedback, then don't leave any feedback. It's any fine. Feedback. And also,
do so, but just say, I don't want to leave any feedback this week.
Just say, I'd rather not leave any feedback this week. Or you could just say, word, and then leave it.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be fine. We'd be happy with that. What do you reckon,
Chris? I'll be made up with that.
Hmm. Well, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, Chris has got his big bag of whatevs.
That's
he's
right.
He's got a big bag of whatevs. Fine. Oh, like yours. There goes my closing statement.
All right, that'll do, I think. Thanks very much indeed for listening. Join us again next time around for another Sound of Football podcast. But for now, from the three of us, it's a fond farewell. Goodbye.
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 On second thoughts, it would be really nice if you left some feedback. www.footballfairground.com/soundoffootball, facebook.com/soundoffootball, or twitter.com/soundoffootball. Go on, you know you want to.